We want to be able to stay connected with you. You can watch our Sunday services on Facebook, YouTube and our website. You can also listen to them on Spotify, Google Podcasts and Apple iTunes. If you don't have internet access, you can use your dial-in service by calling 028-9227-0922 and listening in. Let's stay connected. Good morning and welcome to St. Columba's in Deira Volga here in the Belsize Road in Lisburn. My name's James and I'm the minister here. You're very welcome if you've joined us for the first time today, or indeed if you worship in this place on a regular basis. Welcome as we come together scattered across our parish, desperately, but come with one purpose this morning to worship the God who is alive and who is well. I want to say a big thank you to those who stepped in over the last number of days to cover whenever I was off because of my dad's death. So thank you to Sarah, who looked after last week, last Sunday for us. Sarah did a great job and we're looking forward to you joining us for much more in September. And indeed for all those who covered pastorally or who looked after a number of other things in the parish, thank you for that. And thank you to all those who have sent messages of support, of encouragement, of prayers in any form or through any medium. I wanted to say a big thank you. It means a lot to us as a family. And actually the psalm that's appointed for today is a psalm that has encouraged me over the last number of days as I've walked through the grief of the loss of a father. And it's the first verse that we're going to read today, actually, has brought me great comfort over those last days. We do this often. In fact, we do it very regularly in Deira Volga. We read the scriptures over us as we begin our act of worship, corporate worship together. We do that because we believe that the scriptures are living and active and that they are powerful for us today. So hear from Psalm 119, verse 105 today. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much, but preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I have constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set out a snare before me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. God's word is a lamp unto our feet. In it we find comfort and solace. We find encouragement. We find great challenge as well. There's often probably a part of the scriptures, if you've been reading them over a number of years, that you will return to over and over again in times of difficulty or of trial. But in either trials, tribulations, in sad times or in good times, in the high times and the happy times of our lives, the Lord's word is a lamp unto my feet, a light for our path. With that thought in our head, let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can come to worship you in this manner today. Lord, we know that worship is so much more than just corporately gathering. It's all of our lives. But yet in this moment, as we corporately gather as a church, we thank you that you are present with us, that your presence is not bound by one physical building, but that you are with those who believe in you. You walk with us, you carry us, you lead us through. So Lord, help us today as we study your word, as we hear it read and proclaimed, as we bring our heart's desires before you in prayer, for ourselves, for the needs of others, and indeed for our nation. Lord, we pray that you would hear the prayers that are offered in this moment. In your precious name we pray. Amen. One of the things that we do in our liturgy constantly is that we bring our confession before the Lord. It's a really important element that we recognize that we are not a God ourselves, that someone outside of us has authority over us. That's what we've been looking at as we've looked through this series in 1 Peter. And we will come to more of that later today. But let's, in this moment, recognize and realize that we are in need of the Lord's forgiveness as we pray together. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. By what we have done and by what we have failed to do, we are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. So may Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. This is the point where we are going to have a little moment thinking. We normally ask the children to come up to the front. And as I said at the beginning of these live broadcasts, that we really enjoyed the fact that whenever I said that, the children would come up to the front of their TV screens and continue to sit down. But we're going to move to that moment now. We're going to have a little moment of practical thinking, if you like. So bear with me just for a wee moment. Are you ready for this? 3, 2, 1, go! Yeah! Dora Scooter, isn't it wonderful? Well, it is if you're maybe 3, but if you're 43, you're maybe a bit big for it, and you probably shouldn't be on it, even though it holds my weight and enables me to go. I probably shouldn't be on it, but it is good fun. Actually, as we heard a couple of weeks ago from 1 Peter, there's something in that for us as Christians. Because I have outgrown this scooter, but I'm still trying to use it. Often as Christians, we outgrow our understanding of who God is, but we continue just to stay in that place and know him just like that, without growing up. The scriptures say that we stay on milk rather than moving to solid food. First Peter encourages us to crave pure spiritual milk, milk that will encourage us to grow and deepen our faith in Jesus. I wonder, are you a bit like me? And are you still using is a 43-year-old man still using a 3-year-old scooter? Is my faith like that? Have I outgrown my understanding of who God is and not continued to push myself to know more of him, not reading more of his word, not having conversations with him, not testing, not questioning, not pushing myself forward in growth with the Lord? Maybe I need to relook at my relationship with the Lord at the moment. And maybe you need to do that too. Whenever we outgrow things physically, we move to bigger things. Let's move to bigger things with the Lord. We're going to hear God's word read to us now.
Today we'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through to 25. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God, show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, and honour the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering to be the cause he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this if you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted him himself to who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
So we continue this series in 1 Peter, securing hope. In a sense, we're raising a new banner flying over us of hope in the Lord. Not that we stopped hoping in the Lord, but that we are going to continue to hope in him. See, the Bible says that we are to remain pure and clean during everything that we face. And that's an hourly struggle, never mind just a daily struggle. Today, the title, if you like, for today is Living Under Authority. And that's not something that we like to do. It's probably not something that we choose to do. Maybe there are aspects of our personality actually that likes to be told what to do, that someone else is in charge and therefore actually someone else is to blame if something goes wrong. But often we don't like authority bearing down on us. And actually, as we've just talked about in the children's talk, that can be, in a sense, an understanding of who God is that we haven't grown out of. Often as children, sometimes we get the understanding that God is this overbearing individual who presses down on us with rules of do's and don'ts. But yet in him we find freedom. This is something we're going to look at today, and I'm excited about that. Living under authority is not something that we love to do. It's probably not our natural default or our natural choice. You see, Satan, way back at the beginning of the scriptures, the beginning of the story of this world, Satan lured Adam and Eve with the promise of freedom with authority, that they could be free from all of these rules that God had set up around the garden, and that they could know everything that God knew, that they would be the ones who would be in authority over everything. But they lost both freedom and authority. Because remember, back at the beginning of the creation story, God was in a deep and intimate relationship with Adam. That freedom, that free understanding of them both, was there. Adam was free to do what he wanted in the garden, except one thing, just not to eat that one apple. And in a sense, one fruit off that tree. In a sense, that was to establish a little bit of a boundary, to make an understanding that he was not God. He was not the creator. But remember, in that creation story, God also said, Adam, you're to have dominion and authority over everything else in all of creation. And so actually, God had already given Adam freedom and authority. But the devil, good as he is, twists words. Did God really say that? And so then there's a period of doubt. And because of that, Adam and Eve lost the freedom that they had and the authority that they were given. Because often living under authority gives us authority and freedom in our lives that we've never experienced before. Jesus calls us to lose ourselves. He who wants to find himself must lose his own life. Take up your cross and bear it daily. We are to submit. The word submit or submission has undertones of weakness, undertones of defeat. That's what our culture and our cultural expression of submission puts on it. But a biblical understanding of submission before God is something completely different. And so I don't want us to get those two things mixed up today. Because if we come with a framework in our heads that submission to God is weakness and defeat, then we will feel as if we shouldn't do it or we can't do it. But actually, submission before the Lord is one of the most freeing things that you will ever experience. And it will bring more authority into your life. You will have more authority in other aspects of your life because the Lord will bring freedom into those places. Yet if we are to have authority, we must first submit. That's the clause in this, if you like. See, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority. It's for his sake that we bring submission to others. Now, in one sense, we are to respect the office, even though sometimes we find it hard to respect the office bearer. In this context, Peter is talking about cultural authority out there. As we submit to the authorities that are set above us, whether they are those lawmakers in the land here or politicians, whether they are law upholders like the police, whether they're educators or wherever that is, we are to submit to them in authority. But we're to do it for the Lord's sake, not for our own sake, for the Lord's sake. Why? Now look at verse 15. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorance and talk of foolish men. Live as free men or free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as servants of God. We are to do it because we serve the risen Christ. We serve the one who is able to bring authority over everything in our lives. And so by submitting to others who hold an office above us, we are also giving God his rightful place, because it says elsewhere in the Bible that God has appointed and put those people in place. We show up submission to the Lord through our actions towards others. Verse 17, show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, and honour the king. That kind of covers everything, doesn't it? Love the brotherhood of believers, love the church. Fear God and honour the king. Now here, the king is expressed in a sense as the one who is an authority over us. But it also has the undertones of being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This passage that we read today, in one sense, in verse 18, we move into the area where it's a little bit more difficult in our cultural expression because it talks about slaves. Slaves, in verse 18, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. And in one sense, the church has repented over many years because in the past it has used that verse as an advocate for slavery. But this is Peter speaking into the cultural expression of his day. And he's saying that even if you're a slave who is harshly treated, then back to verse 18, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake, that we do what we do for God, not for other people. Now, slavery still exists today in many different forms. And we, the church, need to continue to protest, need to continue to advocate, need to continue to be socially active in a way that continues to seek that slavery is gone completely. But in one sense, reading some of this into our cultural context, many of us today are held as slaves to our workplaces, to our careers, to our work pattern, for sometimes for very, very good reasons that we need to provide for our families. But sometimes we slip into the old habit of using that as an excuse. Oh, I have to go do work. Oh, I need to do overtime because we need X, Y, and Z. We can't be held as slaves to or work, or to our careers. See, 1 Corinthians, I think I've got this right. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is where you're going to see whether this is right or not, isn't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and towards the end of that chapter. Verse 31. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, whatever it is you do, do it for the glory of God. That has the connotations of verse 13 in 1 Peter 2. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. We do what we do for God's glory, and we need to hold that in our heads. And so our overworking is not for his glory, is it? Or working so that we can achieve and purchase more things that probably we don't always need. Is that for his glory? Often in our culture, we go to work to get money, to buy things that we don't need, sometimes to impress people that we don't even like. We go to work to get money, to buy things that we don't need, to impress people that sometimes we don't even like. And in the midst of all of that, we have to ask ourselves the question, preacher included, is this for the Lord's glory? Is this for his sake? So submission to the Lord is different from being a doormat. Submission to the Lord means that we bring freedom into our lives, that we can take authority over certain aspects of our lives that once held us as slaves. And we take authority over them again, and we re-establish a proper pattern in our lives before the Lord, in right thinking and in right living. Because that's what the book of 1 Peter is about. And whenever we do that, we secure a banner of hope over us. We live differently. We breathe differently. And so submission to the Lord is not about being a doormat, it's about humility. A recognition that you and I, that we are not a God ourselves. Look at verse 21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. See, we take our example from Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Peter again reminds us that he committed no sin. Yet, no deceit was found in him. Yet he became sin for you and for I. That's the simplicity of the gospel message. And it speaks into the very hearts of our souls this morning. Whenever we submit to Jesus, we are submitting to the one who is giving everything for you. He bore your sins on a tree of Calvary. And just like this cross behind me is a reminder that he died for you, but it's empty. He rose again. He's alive. And that has life over its life's final enemy, death itself. And we can rejoice in that, just as I was able to rejoice in the fact that my father, who died recently, is now in heaven because he had trusted Jesus as his savior. Not the words of a preacher, not the words of a grieving son. The Bible says, these are the promises that's contained in the scriptures, that we can rejoice with a new hope and a new joy, because Christ died for you. and has opened the way of freedom and authority, not just in the future, but in your life right now, right here. And today is the day. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. Today is the day to bow the knee and to submit. Because in bowing the knee and submitting, we bring freedom and authority, because it's the day that your submission, you actually find the freedom that you've been craving. And humanly, we bulk away, as I said at the beginning, we bulk away from submission because it has connotations of weakness and defeat. And we crave freedom. Well, actually, maybe the scriptures are teaching us today to crave submission, and freedom will come. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that today you are the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or seek or dare to imagine. So in our weakness and in our moments of defeat, we thank you that you are present with us. In our highs and in our moments of joy, we thank you that you are present with us. Father, today, we want to pray for those who are unwell, who we know and love, and we name them before you now. Pray for those who continue to grieve the loss of a loved one, whether that has been a recent occurrence, an anniversary, or daily finding it hard. And as lockdown shifts and continues to move, we pray for those who are set above us or in authority over us. Give them wisdom and discernment in the decisions that they make. May they make them filled with integrity and wisdom. As lockdown shifts and eases and movement of people begins to increase, Lord, we pray that each one of us will take responsibility for our own actions, our own words. As we continue to look out for our friends and our neighbours, we pray for our community, for those on our right and those on our left. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. As lockdown begins to shift and to ease, there are many places of worship which are beginning to reopen their doors. Here in Deira Volghi, the Select Vestry has set up a subcommittee who are looking at the practicalities of that, and they will report back to the Vestry. The Select Vestry and I, as the minister in charge, needs, or incumbent or rector or whatever way you want to phrase that, needs to be certain and sure that we can comply with all the protocols that have been set before us, both by government and by church authorities, and that indeed we can create a safe environment for us to return to a physical worship together here in this place. In Deira Volghi, obviously, our buildings are used by outside organisations on a regular basis. And so that brings a little bit of complication into how we reopen our buildings. So we're working through all of those issues at the moment. We'll give you plenty of notice of when we're able to reopen our doors. But until then, we're going to continue to stream our services. I will release that on due dates and times, plenty of space for you to know when that's happening. And there'll be more information coming soon as well. But we don't see that happening before at least the middle to the end of August, before we will be able to reopen and gather again physically. Until then, stay safe and stay strong in the Lord and raise a banner of hope over you. We finish with the collect for this, the fifth Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth, to the glory of your name, through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.